Chapter 8, if you would. Stretch your legs, get one last stand in before the tribulation begins. Matthew chapter number 8. Some people like the pain. Jesse. Matthew chapter number 8, we're going to start reading in verse number 18. I believe it's important to read the text. I've been thinking about that, and I know a lot of preachers, you know, I don't know, it seems like when you listen to a lot of services or you watch them, they just put a verse up real quick or, you know, they refer to it. But I don't know that there's anything more important than you seeing where we're getting the message from. Amen. I'm sure and I hope and pray that everything I say is pleasing to the Lord when I'm preaching. Amen. I fear the Lord on that. But I'm sure that when I'm reading these texts, every word's perfect. So I know I'll get it right for at least this long, no question at all. The Bible says to give attendance to reading. And a public reading of the Scriptures is not a very common thing in church nowadays, but this is Bible Believers Church. We don't apologize for that. So that should tell you right there what you're going to get when you come here. You're going to get the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, let's start reading, if you would please, in verse number 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was departed into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He said unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time, before the time? And there was a great way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Now watch it. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Wow. Let's pray before we get in here and ask God to speak to our hearts from the preaching. Father, I love you this morning. I pray now as we look into this passage of Scripture that you would please speak to our hearts. Give this church, these individuals, the message that you have for every one of us this morning. I ask you to give me liberty to preach. I pray that you'd help me to say things that are pleasing to you, that I'd be an expository preacher, Lord, that I'd give your people your words as you've commanded me to do. Make this a blessing and a help, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would look with me at verse number 26, I'm taking our thought this morning from that verse. He saith unto them, Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? That word fearful, excuse me for being too simplistic, but that word fearful means full of fear. Boy, I got looking at that, especially after, I think it was Wednesday night when we preached, it seemed to hit a little bit of a chord for a certain group of people, or a whole bunch of people, I should say. You live in a generation full of fear. And let me just take it a step farther. It's not just the world right now. The church, Christians, people that know the Lord are full of fear. I don't care how spiritual you are, how much you know your Bible and all that stuff, you have been impacted to some extent by the amount of stress, fear, worries, what ifs that is really beginning to permeate our culture. The news media is not your friend. The news media is not a friend of Jesus Christ. The news media is not a friend of America. The news media does not love the Bible. The news media could care less about you and about your stress level, about your cortisol levels, about your sleepless nights, about whether or not that's adversely affecting your health and whether or not you wind up getting cancer. As long as you keep clicking and tuning in and reading the articles and keep the money flowing, they're happy with it. And they're constantly propagating fear, stress, worry, and driving it to the point where it's begun to permeate everybody, even the children. Our children are stressed about things no kid has a right worrying about. But it's happening. Jesus says, "Why are you so fearful?" And he answers the question in the same sentence before he finishes the question. Because the question mark comes at the end of the sentence. He says, "Why are you so fearful?" And then he insults his disciples, by the way. "O ye of little faith." More I read my Bible and the more I realize the way God spoke, Jesus Christ spoke, and the prophets spoke, the more I realize what we're missing in this nation, what we're missing around this world right now, is true God-called preachers that will call the baby ugly. That'll just say it like it is. He said, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" This morning I want to preach to you on what are you afraid of? Why are you so worked up? What's got you going? Listen, you're not supposed to be in tune with this world. You realize that, right? Biblical separation. I'm not talking about what you've heard preached your whole life. I'm talking about biblical separation is separated unto Jesus Christ. It's separated from the spirit of the world. It's not necessarily what you put on, where you go, what you ingest, what you smoke, what you don't smoke, what you pierce, what you tattoo. I'm not saying those things are okay. I'm saying that's not the definition of biblical separation. Biblical separation is, I don't even know what you're talking about when you talk about the world. I'm out of tune with the world we're in. I'm trying to walk with Jesus Christ. I'm in my Bible. I'm praying. I'm separated unto the gospel. I'm separated unto God. I am His and He is mine. That's it. Has nothing to do with being separated from the world. If my separation is from the world, then as the world falls more and more off the cliff, I will go farther and farther from God because I'm looking at where the world is and I'm judging my separation by whether or not I'm more separated than the world is. Does that make sense? That's not a biblical definition of separation. A Christian separation is you're supposed to be separated unto God. If God is my focus, if my relationship with Jesus Christ means everything, if I'm in my Bible, if I'm praying, if I'm in the right Bible preaching church to get fed the words of God, then there's the Spirit of God, if you're saved, that is in you, right? So there's a different spirit in you than the spirit that's in the world. The Bible says in Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I like that verse. You ever lay down at night? Sorry about spitting on you. You didn't notice it? I saw it. It was like a rocket, man, right at you. Usually they do this. That one was like, boom. I mean, I think it hit the chair, not you, so you're good. Just scoot over. You ever lay down at night when you go to sleep and you did have a decent day and while you were busy, everything was kind of okay? And then you lay down, put your head on the pillow, and this flood shows up. All the what ifs come in. Can I remind you, that is not the Spirit of God. What are you afraid of? You realize the devil knows how to attack God's people that way? He wants to rob you of your peace. We'll get into this a little bit more this evening. If I'm a little too fired up this morning, come back tonight. I'm supposed to be teaching. That doesn't always work out for me, but I'm going to try to teach. There's a difference between teaching and preaching, by the way, but I digress. You know, grace always comes before peace. You ever notice how this world's full of peace, 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 peace? There is no peace until you first experienced grace. God sent his disciples in the text into a storm he knew was coming their way. He did not keep them out of the storm when he could have. He knew the problem was coming. He knew the fear was going to be there. He knew the overwhelming situation was coming into their life. He saw it coming before it got there. And a loving Savior sent his closest men into the storm anyhow, knowing the storm was coming. But if the Lord sent you into the storm, what are you afraid of? You know what you need in the middle of your problems? You need grace. The grace of God enables the Christian to go through their troubles and stay faithful to God in the trouble and keep their eyes on Jesus Christ through the trouble and come out of the trouble better off than they were when they went into the trouble. And after the storm, the peace shows up. Grace always comes before peace. We'll see that as we study through Corinthians. Paul lists it, and every time he lists it, he says, grace unto you and peace. Grace unto you and peace. Grace always comes before peace. So you know what you need today? You need the grace of God to take away the fears that flood over you, that are coming after you, the stress and the pressure that is going to build up if, hey, listen, if what we've been preaching about all these years is true, you know, see, I'm getting excited about that because it is. If what we've been saying is right, if we are truly in the last times, if Jesus Christ is coming again in my lifetime, then you can expect all hell to break loose, even in, oh, I'm going to say it, brace yourself, the United States of America. You can expect it to get worse, not better. Sorry. I mean, if you were looking for that other stuff, you came to the wrong church. I'm not a psychologist. I mean, they're great. They have their place. I don't do that thing. I don't know how to make you feel better and get all your problems out and all that stuff. I just got Bible to give you, and it's just flat truth. You understand that? Amen. I'm not going to be one of these wannabe psychologist preachers. I'm not saying I'm against psychologists. I'm saying I'm against preachers that aren't educated to be psychologists trying to play the psychology game with the people. Not here for that. You got truth here this morning. And the truth is, the Bible predicted it's going to get worse. And we've been saying it and saying it and saying it. Preachers have been preaching it since the 70s when I was born. I've heard it my whole life. You know, why do you believe the Bible? I've watched it play out in real time. You are in the last times. Jesus is coming again. And you can expect it to get worse. So what are you afraid of? Yeah, I did say that then on purpose. Because you know what? That just ground. Did you see how that just ground in the room? You can expect it to get worse. And then I said something you would not expect me to say. So what are you afraid of? We got the right book. Amen. We've been calling it for years. So this ought to strengthen your faith. You ought to turn on the news media and go, praise the Lord, glory to God. While everybody else is freaking out. The Delta variant. Defunding the police. Mobs in the streets. What are we going to do? The economy. Inflation. You ought to be going, yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, the Bible's true. Yes, it's happening. What makes this one special? You guys think I'm crazy. I can tell you think I'm crazy. Johnny, you don't, because you're as crazy as I am. But the rest of you think I'm crazy. You know what makes this one special, folks? It's not just here in the United States. It's all over the world. There's a spirit moving. There's an anti-authority spirit moving. There's an anti-government spirit moving. The government's attacking the government. Other governments around the world are attacking each other. This thing's a beautiful setup for Lord Jesus Christ to come back and prove that we are in the end times. Let me show you. Keep your finger here in Matthew 8. Go over to the book of Luke. I've been trying so hard to cut my messages down a little bit because I feel like I keep you here too long and I preach too long. But I told the Lord this morning, if that's just been on my head and I'm wrong about that, then help me to preach. I'll preach an hour. I'll preach an hour and a half. Whatever you want me to preach, I'll preach, Lord. So you just pray that the Lord's telling me what you want him to tell me, okay? Whatever that is. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to try to move quick. Look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. I need to say that again. With distress of nations with perplexity. You ever been perplexed? Some of you are perplexed at what I'm talking about. You're like, You ever notice how perplexed everybody is? We follow the science. Well, so do we. Well, our science is right. Your science is wrong. Well, science is science. Well, nobody knows. Nobody can tell you who's lying and who's not lying. Nobody knows. They're confused. The sea and the waves roaring. Look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. They're tuned into Fox News. Oh, Fox is conservative. Oh, stop it. Give me a stinking break. Oh, Fox stands for religious liberty. Fox, those guys, most of those guys are Roman Catholic. Do you know that? Don't you know the history of that thing? They persecuted people like you. Don't give me that garbage. The Pope and the 13th, the mom, they're going to get together to bring in your one world churches. They're going to work with the Antichrist to bring peace on the earth when they desperately need peace. And all these born again, Bible believing Christians that ought to know better tune in more to Fox than they do in the King James Bible. And you wonder why we're all off track, losing our kids, losing our focus, not seeing souls saved. Our services are dead. People would rather go to sporting events than hear the Bible preached. I get it if you're lost. I don't get it if you got the Spirit of God in you. I don't get it. There's nowhere else I'd rather be than somewhere that the Bible's being preached. I'll drive hours to go hear a good preacher. And yes, I'm busy and have other things to do. But man, something inside me wants to hear the Bible preached. Nowadays, why? Because they're looking after the things coming on the earth. They're all tuned into their phones. They wired those things. You want to follow the science in a way to addict your brain and the brains of your children. That's why you pick it back up a couple seconds after you put it down, and it's addictive. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Back to Matthew chapter 8. Now, in this church, we believe in rightly dividing a King James Bible. We don't just believe the King James Bible. We believe in the King James Bible rightly divided, right? We've been teaching a lot and preaching a lot on that lately. So I'm not going to take the time to go through it all. Most of you understand. If you don't, talk to me. But that passage is speaking to the tribulation. You're going to be gone when that happens. Okay? Praise God for that. Amen? In the meanwhile, you're sort of in the warm-up phase. In the meanwhile, we see what the Bible's been saying was going to happen then. We see it setting up. I haven't talked to anybody that hasn't said, man, you know, years ago it was like the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell or trade without it, you know. And, you know, now I could see how that could happen. Where's your card? Do you have the vaccine? Where's the proof? Well, let's just mark people that got it and don't mark people that don't have it. You know, we have multiple people in our church right now that have big decisions to make that we all need to pray for. Big decisions. Like, if you don't get the vaccine by this date, you are fired. And people are standing nose to nose with possibly losing all of their income. Personal income. I don't know whether the spouse or not. I'm saying all of their income, lose their job because they won't get the vaccine. What's your statement on that? I don't have a statement on it. I'm praying for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are going through this, that God gives them wisdom to do what they need to do, or the grace to do what they need to do, or the grace to go through what they got to go through because they don't have the peace to do what they have to do. I'm not God. I'm just saying pray for them. Can you not see what's happening in this world? People are getting mad around the world right now because international travel is being affected by whether or not laws being passed. You have to have the vaccine in order to travel. And you can see how the thing's getting set up. Ain't that great? What are you afraid of? You say, how could you say that's great? Because look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is coming. He's going to get us out of here. Hey, it don't matter how bad the storm gets. Carest thou not that we perish? Just come on up. In the meanwhile, we don't know what's going to happen. So I want to encourage you not to be afraid. I say things sometimes when I'm preaching, and I think people misunderstand where I'm coming from. I said something recently in one of my messages, and I was questioned about it, not by any of you, but I don't think the individual understood where I was coming from. And I said this: if somebody pops up in the middle of the service and pulls out a gun to shoot me, by the way, that's my dream. I want to go that way, but I want to be like 80-something or 90-something or something like that and be preaching and just be shot dead in the pulpit. I think that'd be great. That'd just be an awesome way to go out. No sickness, no nothing. Healthy as a horse, old man, and then boom. But anyhow, I didn't say that arrogantly. What I said is, if it's not God's will for me to go yet, then the gun will blow up in his hand. You understand that, right? If God still wants me here and I'm doing what God wants me to do in the middle of God's perfect will for my life, then it'll happen. Keep your finger here in Matthew. Go back to Psalm 56. I want you to see something. Psalm chapter 56. We're not going to turn there, but while you're going, in Psalm chapter 3, he says this: I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. What an arrogant thing for the psalmist to say. Hey, the guy's running for his life. And he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Wow. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What about the riots? If they come down my street, you know, what are you going to do? There's some stuff we might be able to do to help our case a little bit, but I won't go there. Johnny got it. But I mean, what are you afraid of? In Psalm 56, look at verse 3. He says, what time I am afraid. Oh, wow. You mean we all get afraid? Yep. Don't give me this garbage. I don't fear nothing. Man, you give me a guy like that, I'll take him apart in 2 seconds. That's the dumbest guy I ever met in my life. Don't tell me you ain't afraid. My grandpa was a professional boxer, and he said, if you ever get in a situation where you're going into a fight and you don't get butterflies, don't fight. Walk away. What time I am afraid? Even tough guys? Yeah, even tough guys. I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Look at verse 10. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Let's go back to Matthew 8. So I'm right within the navigational beacons of the Word of God to tell you, don't fear man. Don't worry about it. Back in Matthew chapter 6, he said, hey, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. Over in the book of James, it says, you should say, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do this or that, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to hold is the long and short of the teaching. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. So what do? Bite our fingernails to the quick and destroy today. Wait a second. Are you here this morning? You breathing? Can you see? You got freedom? Am I preaching whatever I want to preach from the Bible? Okay, so it's a good day, ain't it? I mean, so far, has it been good to be in church? I mean, so far, you know, it might get worse before we get out of here. You know, I might wreck your day, but so far, it's been good to be here, ain't it? So enjoy what God gave you today. What are you afraid of? What might happen tomorrow? I don't know. My wife and I are sitting at the stop sign at Griswold and 9 Mile with our daughters in the car right in front of us, and a lady went whoop right through the four-way stop at 55 mile an hour guesswork, flying through the stop, looked up as she was going through like, I shouldn't have been checking my Facebook right now. A couple seconds off, that could have been my daughter's. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I sure did thank God for answering my prayers already today. You understand what I'm saying? You get so wound up and worked up and worried, and you let this world get in your head and in your mind and get you all stressed out and freaked out about everything, but your eyes aren't on Jesus Christ anymore. You don't have any peace. You got all kinds of stress and pressure constantly coming. And I'm telling you, it might not matter when you're in your 20s, but when you get older, that stress and pressure can wreak havoc on your health. You understand that? Matthew chapter number 8. Some reasons people get afraid, some things they're afraid of that they shouldn't be afraid of. A lot of people are afraid of following Jesus Christ. You can see it in verses 19 through 22. Certain scribe comes and says, "Master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Just all this thing, everybody, you know, is like, "Yes, I'll do what God wants me to do. I want God's will for my life." Okay. Forgive my sarcasm, my rolling of my eyes. Whithersoever thou goest. You know, a lot of people are afraid of following the Lord. It's like one thing to say, "I want to follow Jesus." And what they mean is, since I live in America, since we're a Christian nation, like you heard, founded on Christian principles, which there's some little bit of give and take in some of that information, by the way. Do you know how many of those guys were actually deists? How much research have you done digging into the founding fathers that Bible-believing preachers preach as though they're one of the prophets or apostles? You dig into what some of those guys believe, where some of those guys stood, what they did, and how they defected from what they did believe at one point before the end. You'll start scratching your head a little bit about whether or not this country is God's modern day Israel. It's a Gentile nation. You get all this stress from all these people that think following Jesus means the blessings of God, the prayer of Jabez. That if I give 100 to the building fund, God will give me back 1,000. So I'll give him 500. So he'll give me 10,000. So I'll give him 2,000. So he'll give me 100,000. I call out the preachers that preach that stuff. If God's that good, why doesn't the preacher give the people money? Practice what you preach, you lying charlatan. Sheep shearing snake. Give everybody in the room a $100 bill. Listen, God will bless you. Come put your money on here. I'm going to pray over your money. I'm going to dance on your money a little bit. I've seen this stuff. And people fall for that manipulation while they're throwing that man his God. And he's manipulating him in the name of a God many of those people sincerely believe in but don't know any different. We'll get into more of that as we go through Corinthians, because we're going to get into all that sign stuff, and I'm going to show you what the Bible teaches about those signs, and we'll rightly divide the word of truth and run the references, and it'll make sense to you. I hate that stuff. This God that's going to bless us if we do right, this God of America. Okay. Foxes have holes. It's right there in the text. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know what Jesus just did? He called that guy out. He says, "I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Is this like Nicodemus? "We know thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with them." Nicodemus, get saved. His response to all that mouthing worship was, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The illustration I've used before, so forgive me. It's like you coming up to me saying, "Oh, Pastor, that was such a blessing, and I just appreciate it. It's so hard to find somebody that preaches the Bible like you. You're my favorite preacher." And I'm like, "Listen, man, get saved. You're going to split hell wide open. Don't fool me. Who do you think you're fooling me? You ain't saved. You ain't no more saved than my dog is." That's insulting, right? Jesus looked right at him and just cut right to the chase, because he knew his heart, he knew his mind, he knew what was going on, he knew his motives. He said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." See you later. Have a nice day. You know what he said? Foxes and birds. Do you know in your Bible, foxes and birds are a type of devils? He is saying devils in this world belong and have a place to sleep. I got nowhere I belong. Now you want to come? I'm going this way. You know why a lot of people don't follow Jesus Christ? For fear of what he's going to ask them to do. What if God calls you? What if God calls your husband? What if God says, "I want you to go to Haiti. I want you to go to Papua New Guinea. I want you to go to Africa. I want you to go to Asia. Well, the Lord's coming. You know, I'd rather him catch me in process of obeying than hiding behind, well, the Lord's coming soon, so I'm not going to obey. And he probably is coming. You probably won't make it there, but whatever. Wouldn't you rather him catch you willing? You know what? You got a lot of people that are afraid to follow God because they're afraid of how it's going to cost them the American dream. They're afraid of what it's going to cost them in their life physically. They're afraid of losing their comforts. You want to know why so many Christians are so obsessed with politics? If you haven't noticed, God doesn't seem to be honoring their obsession. God doesn't seem to be honoring the preaching of get out and vote. While they're preaching to the people about the nation and about politics, the church is dying on the vine because they haven't gotten fed the Word of God in years. What is the obsession with politics? Well, you can't find it in the Bible. I'll tell you what the obsession is. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Do you know the connection? You get the connection? I don't know if I'm making sense. I know a lot of times I say stuff that makes sense in my head, but it doesn't make sense to anybody else.
It's good preaching.
I hope it makes sense. The problem is, the obsession is, we don't want to lose our liberty. Well, can I just say something that's really out there? Some of you are going to cringe at this one. But if losing our liberty will result in souls getting saved, and people getting serious about God, and Christians getting on their knees and getting right, did you know when you study your Bible and history, for some of the history buffs that like preaching more history than they like preaching Bible, when you study your Bible and history, great revivals happen among God's people in times of persecution. God sent persecution early on in the book of Acts because they were huddled up at Jerusalem and weren't obeying what he said to do. He sent persecution because it busted them up and they went out doing what he told them to do in the first place. If they'd have just obeyed the first place, it wouldn't have happened. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Pardon me. That was true. But think about it. The obsession has nothing to do with truly caring about souls getting saved, lives being changed, an opportunity to walk with God. I don't want to suffer persecution, folks. I really don't. I love my peace. Listen, my home to me is it's a haven. I love it. I mean, I don't want anybody fighting unless it's me. There's no yelling aloud but mine. You know what I'm saying? I love being there. That was supposed to be a joke. It's all right. I like sitting on my porch and watching my dogs play. I like sitting around the dinner table and laughing and joking with my kids. I'm more and more as I get older, I used to say I have itchy feet and travel the world and travel all over the place and lived in 7 states or something like that by the time I was 30 years old. And the older I get, the more of a homebody I am. It's like, hey, you want to go? No, I don't. I'm going to go home. I don't want to do anything. I'll go work out. I'll go train. I'm going to go back home. I'll go to church. I'll go back home. I like my peace. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'm not asking for suffering, but I am saying this. Wouldn't it offer us an opportunity to show the Lord we love him? Wouldn't it offer us a chance to say, you know what? I can lay up some treasures in heaven. Now I know what them people in China were going through and them people in Russia. I'm just asking you, the worst case scenario is what we're dealing with. This is one of the ways my mind operates. I wrap my mind around worst case scenario. I figure out what I would do in worst case scenario that I can imagine, and then everything else from there is cool. You know what I'm saying? Once I get my mind and emotions wrapped, so let's just wrap our minds around worst case scenario. What are you afraid of? If you lose your liberties, if America today, or 10 years from now, is not what you've known it to be, and it won't be in one way or shape or form, what are you going to do? You got Jesus? Did he say he'd never leave you or forsake you? Doesn't he work amazing in times of trouble? Isn't that when the Lord's at his best? It's when you and your life are at your worst. What are you afraid of? You see, what happens is we get our motives exposed. We have to sit back and begin thinking about, really, what am I doing here? Look at verse number 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me to go first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me and Let the dead bury their dead. What a statement. You know why a lot of people are afraid of? A lot of people, why they won't follow Jesus Christ? They're afraid of losing their family relationships. Now, that is a rough thing to say. Father, listen. Lord, listen. A family member died. And he said, follow me and go let your dead family members, there was the one still alive. He's talking about spiritual deadness. He's saying, let the dead bury their dead. Now, I'm not against funerals. We can get into the doctrine of why he'd be saying this at this time at another point. But that's a rough thing to say. You know, a lot of people won't follow Jesus Christ because they're afraid of backlash from their family. You ever notice how much the devil uses family? It's like, well, the get-together's on Sunday. Well, I go to church on Sunday. I like using this one because this one was brought to me not long ago and it stuck out in my mind. Well, why can't we do it on Saturday? Well, your sister's taking her kids to the beach on Saturday. Oh, well, why didn't you tell me in the first place? I'll just tell God to just put it on ice for a little while because my sister's got to go to the beach. But the pressure's on you to come on Sunday. Can I just say something, by the way? I've seen this too much in church. Once you're married and you're an adult, you're not under your parents' authority anymore. You're to honor them, show them the respect of letting them make whatever decisions they want to make in their own life, and don't get on them about it. Don't pressure them. Don't disrespect them. But you're not under them anymore. You're under God. Now, I know I just hair-lipped some mamas, but you're under God. So the pressure of, oh, I have to because my dad said I have to, you're on crack. My mama's going to be mad. Mama's more important than Jesus? I'm sorry, but sometimes you have to pay the price to do right. And the devil knows how to hit you at the closest place where your emotions are the strongest, and God shows you, you just put mama ahead of Jesus. That ain't no man of God. Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Well, you know what they're going to say? Let them talk. Well, everybody's going to say, have a great time. I hope you all get together and the whole time you have roast Mike. And I hope it tastes terrible and it's tough and miserable and gives you indigestion and diarrhea and dysentery and constipation. Figure that one out. Enjoy. Because I am supposed to follow my Savior. You see, not the spirit of fear, but power. By the way, with love and a sound mind. Sorry, I can't make it, Mom. Yeah. Got to go to church. Bah, 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 bah. Sorry, Dad. Not fighting with you. You're supposed to... Dad, I'm not fighting with you. See you later. And then you just follow Jesus. It's that simple. You don't have to make yourself a nuisance. You don't have to preach them 45-minute messages and get in big screaming matches at Christmas so your children can remember what wonderful godly parents they had. They're confused. They don't get it. They're just looking at, I love Grandma and Papa. I love Mom and Dad. Family. Sorry I got on that one, but we hit a real sore spot there at the last question and answer Sunday afternoon. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of it, and the devil knows that's a button he can push because you're afraid of losing family relations. Listen, I'm not saying burn bridges with family. This isn't a cult where you leave your family and cut off all contact and move out into the compound somewhere. What I'm trying to do is free you from an unnecessary burden, an unnecessary manipulation that God did not put on you. Does that make sense? So what do? You smile and wave. I got family members that don't stand where I stand on anything. Church attendance, politics. Well, you know what I do about it? Nothing. You preach to them? Nope. I pick my nose while they're talking. It's the best I can do. My job is to follow Jesus Christ, not worry about anybody else's opinion. Number two, there's fear of storms. I think this is probably the closest to home. Look at verse 23. And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. See it? One guy says, I will follow thee. His disciples didn't say nothing. Get it? They weren't talking.
I'm going to punch you.
Okay, do it. Most of the time they don't do it. I've been punched plenty. I've deserved most of them. It ain't nothing. It's just whack. Like, where'd that come from?
Lord, I will follow you.
Okay, put up or shut up. Jesus gets in the ship and says, hey, Jesus is in the ship. Boom, there they just follow him. That's a disciple. He naturally has his eyes on his Savior. He knows where he goes, and he goes where the Savior goes, period. What happens? He puts him in the ship. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. His disciples came to him and woke him, Lord, save us, we perish. He said unto them, here's our text this morning, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. You know what people are afraid of? Trouble. Can I just say, the older you get, the more I think the fear of trouble builds. You've been around longer. You've seen problems. You've seen things happen. You realize bad things can happen. When you're young and you got the whole world ahead of you, you're just like full charge, full steam ahead. Everything's fine. It ain't going to happen. Ah, watch this, man. I could jump off the roof. I'm cool. I know how to brake fall. Right? When you're older, you're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to get up there. Let's just hire that out. Can we hire somebody to fix that, Chase? Because I don't want to get up there, right? Why? Because you get a little bit more afraid of, because you've had enough experiences. You've had that call where you're like, what? You know, like, oh, no. And so then when problems hit, you can start getting afraid of storms. That doesn't make you the devil. What time I am afraid, I will trust in him. Fear of storms. The Lord sent them right out into a great tempest. That's a ferocious wind, a wind with great velocity. And it's building up. It's like you see it and it hits. It's coming, the black clouds, and it's getting worse and worse. And those winds are battering and beating, and you hear the creaking and the popping and the shaking. And it's all seeming like it's coming unglued. It's kind of frightening, ain't it? Then to add to that, the waves begin overwhelming and hitting the ship and running over the boat. Hey, listen, the psalmist said, preserve me, God, for in thee do I put my trust. You know why he's saying that? Read the Psalms. You should be reading Psalms every day. If you feel any stress at all about what's going on in our nation or in your own life, you should add to your normal devotions a little bit of Psalms every day now. I'm telling you, just take my word for it and give it a shot. If I'm wrong, whatever, I'll say I'm sorry. But it'll help you. He's saying preserve me because he's getting overrun by problems. It's not just winds beating that are themselves dangerous enough. Now the waves are hitting and overflowing and running over that boat. I mean, man, they're getting scared to death. And they look at the Lord. He did not keep them from the storm. They're in the storm, but he's there with them. What they easily forget is he's there. They're all screaming. They're all yelling. They're all trying to control the masts and figure out what we're doing. They're bailing water and screaming at each other. And it's like, Lord, what are you doing? Don't you give a rip. We're about to die. It is normal to feel that way when you're in the middle of your storm. These are some of the best of the best. They're his disciples. They're not like the other guy. They're not demon-possessed like the Gadarene. They're not one of those, I will follow thee and not doing it. These are the disciples. They've already forsaken their family to follow Jesus Christ. They've already thrown away a good career, so their financial security, like we talked about already, had nothing to do. These are the best of the best. And what does the Lord do? The guy that said, I will follow thee, is not in a storm. The guy that said, hey, first let me go there, he's not in the storm. The crowds that come out to see Jesus and leave, they're not in the storm. It's the good people that are in the storm. Because Jesus Christ wanted them to learn something that nobody else has a right to learn because they haven't earned the privilege of being able to learn what the Lord's about to teach his men in the storm. Lord, carest thou not that we perish, the right place to go in the storm? And he sits up, says, what are you afraid of? Oh, ye of little faith. Church, our faith is small. And I think you're some of the best of the best. But we really have very little faith in Jesus Christ. He rebukes the winds, he rebukes the waves. They lay down and go to sleep peacefully. And it says there's a great calm. I personally believe, you could take this or leave it, I personally believe it was almost supernatural. That calm was so real, so amazing. I think that the disciples probably went, oh, I've never seen it this peaceful. Like maybe he just let them just dip their toe into the shores of heaven for a second. And in my mind, it doesn't say this, in my mind, I see Jesus laying right back down and going right back to sleep. Big old bags under his eyes sunken in from the pressure of the ministry, the pressure of preaching, people at him all the time, bothering him all the time, and just pouring himself out to God, pouring himself out to everybody else, praying and reading and doing all these things, just eyes just sunken in, and then he's so out of it in the flesh, he's so toast in the flesh that he's sleeping through the storm. They wake him up. What are you guys so afraid of? Oh, you little faith. All right, guys, calm down. Let me go back to sleep. Isn't that amazing? I told you before I did the numbers, and I don't remember exactly what they were, but a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. And if you lived like 70 years, I think that came out to like 2 hours in God's time frame, something like that. Your whole life. Your whole life. A couple hours to God. It's just not fair. God's like, what are you talking about? My whole life has been, you haven't even seen me work it out yet. It's been 2 hours. Relax. What are you so worked up about? What are you afraid of? Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus Christ in your boat?
Sure.
Is Jesus Christ in your boat? Yeah. If you're born again, what are you afraid of? If you're not born again, you ought to be afraid. This world's a mess. It's going to get worse. You should be so neurotic you can't sleep at night. You ought to be chewing your fingernails to the quick, freaking out, storing water and storing food and trying to stuff cash into empty pipes in your basement so nobody knows it's there. I mean, you ought to be freaking, absolutely freaking out. But if you got Jesus Christ, what are you worried about? Let's look at another one. We'll be done. A lot of people are afraid to face the truth. Notice in verse number 28, when he was come to the other side, under the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils. It says two. Mark says one. They don't correct each other. They go together. Mark homed in on the detail of the one guy, but Matthew tends to be way more detailed as he writes, and he made sure that he mentioned there was another guy with him. There's no correction there. They go together. There meets him two, possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. A lot like people you see nowadays. You look at your news, you're going to see lots of these. And by the way, the closer we get to the coming of Christ, the more you're going to see a rise in demon possession and all that kind of weird stuff. It's going to get worse and worse. In the tribulation period, it goes completely off the charts. And at the time of Christ, when he was here, it was really, really wired up. The demon possession was wired up. More so than normal. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but I won't get into it. It would take me too much time this morning. So what happens is, he comes, these guys come running to him. And notice something really interesting. In verse 29, behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, when you read Mark's account, Mark says that the Gadarenes said it. That the man said it. Here it tells you that the devil said it. Which one was it? Errors in the Bible. It was both. The man was speaking, and it was devils speaking through the man. Not so, Lord, not you. Peter, right? Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was speaking. Satan was speaking through Peter. The Gadarene runs up, drops down, and the Gadarene falls down at his feet, and he falls down to worship him. You got to compare the two passages. I just don't have time this morning. I'm running behind. You got to compare the two passages. The Gadarene runs up and falls down before the feet of God and worships him. The devil's in the man. Are you come to torment us before our time? They know their time is coming. They know who he is. He looks at him. He says in verse 32, go. Not far away, there's a herd of swine feeding. The man runs up to him. He falls down. The devils are saying, what have we to do with thee? You're right. Nothing. I'm not here for you. I'm here for him. Because he knew that man wanted help. I've had people come to me even recently, what can you help with this friend of mine's demon possessed, and can you help with him? And I said, listen, at our church, what we offer is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If your friend wants Jesus Christ, if he wants to get saved, then bring your friend. We'll preach the gospel to him. If he wants to talk to me, I'll be glad to talk to him afterwards and show him the gospel. Jesus Christ can deliver him. We don't cast out devils around here. You ever notice in the book of Acts when they tried to do it and they weren't called to do it because they weren't an apostle? We'll get into this in the evening services. If you were an apostle, maybe that's one thing. But they weren't an apostle. It's Peter, we know, Paul, we know, but who are you? Ha, bow! They beat him up and stripped him naked and let him. Yeah, I'm not up for that. I'm good, thank you. Pastor comes running out of his office, half bloodied up, and they're tearing off my clothes. I'm like, no, I'm good. You say, are you afraid of him? No, I'm not afraid of him. I look like I'm afraid. I just know what God's called me to do. I know the parameters God's given. I understand the gifts. I get the book. I've seen them. I've dealt with them. I know all about it. Trust me, I know all about it. Don't give me this garbage. This guy can cast out devils. He's a liar. Jesus Christ can do it with his word. You got issues with that stuff? You get under the sound of Bible preaching and you say under the sound of Bible preaching and God will clean you up with his word. I ain't laying no hands on you and knocking you backwards and all that stuff. Well, we've done too much Bible study to know what happens when you're falling backwards. Never is that the Spirit of God. That's a false spirit meeting the Spirit of God. And every time in the Bible, they fall backwards. These guys are casting out devils and knocking them backwards and healing them and knocking them backwards. Somebody doesn't know their Bible. They're running on pure emotion. They don't know their Bible. God will not violate his word to help you out. What are we to do with thee, Jesus? There's a herd of swine over there. Can we take them? They're nothing to us, just like he's nothing to us. We could care less if it's him or a swine. Yeah, go. They jump into the herd of swine. The herd of swine run violently. They dive off into the sea and drown themselves, right? Let me ask you a question. Under the Old Testament law, what are they doing herding swine? Mr. All Things Jews over there laughing. The Jewish Encyclopedia? He'll tell you why. They're not supposed to be messing with swine. That's an unclean beast. You know what they're doing? They're making money. They're making money. When things don't make sense, there's a buck in it. A love of is the root of all evil. You're not supposed to go after that stuff. That's an unclean spirit driving you after mammon. You know what mammon is? You know what God that is? You ever do the research on that? There's an unclean spirit driving you to love and be obsessed with money. I don't worship money. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he takes care of me, praise his name for it. I appreciate it. And if he doesn't, that's his prerogative. But money ain't the God. These guys over here, when they come out, they come to Jesus Christ. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid of losing their financial gains. So you know what they have to do? Get rid of Jesus. Look at it in verse 34. The whole city came out to meet Jesus. Wow, look at that. I mean, back over here earlier on, it says the great multitude in verse 18, that he sees the great multitude, and he says, guys, let's go. You know, most churches nowadays would never vote Jesus in as the pastor. We want you to come candidate. All right. What time does service start? 10:30. What time am I in the pulpit? 11. I'll be there at 11. Where's the preacher? Walk in, preach. Honey, let's go. Walk right out the door after service. Bow your heads to pray. Hey, brother, would you pray for us? Get in the car and leave. Why? Their motives ain't right anyhow. And people don't really want it. Done this too much. No, that's not the one for me. You know what? The Lord sees the great multitude, and he just said, let's go. He has an aversion to the multitudes, even though he has great compassion on them and loves them, and they're always chasing him everywhere he goes, and he even feeds them. He just realizes that the multitudes are going to reject. The whole city came out. The church was full this morning. Woo! Praise the Lord! Our attendance numbers are through the roof. The parking lot's packed. So, that doesn't speak one word for the hearts of the people other than they showed up. You know, you can show up and not want anything from God because you're afraid of losing your financial gain. And when Jesus shows up and says, you shouldn't be messing with that, go ahead, devils, get in that stuff and trash their whole economy. The whole city comes out, but they came out for one reason. Get him out of our coasts. You know what? One man leaves this thing completely different. The demon act that fell at his feet. The man that wanted help that nobody could help. No man could tame him. They couldn't bind him. He's crying and he's cutting himself. He's full of devils. And when he got to the feet of Jesus Christ, he found peace. He found comfort. Go read the story in Matthew. In Mark, I mean, he wanted to follow Jesus and stay with him. And Jesus said, no, go back and tell him what great things God's done for you. No, Lord, I want to go with you. Not right now. Lord, we want the rapture. Not right now. Lord, we're ready to get out of here. This is getting crazy. Not right now. Lord, we're getting stressed, God. The winds are building up. The waves, God. We don't know what it's going to be like for our children and grandchildren. I mean, seriously. Not right now. Lord, let us go with you. No, go back and tell them what great things the Lord's done. Lord, they don't want you. Get back in there and tell them what great things the Lord's done. Can I ask you a question this morning? What are you afraid of? Here's my conclusion. You know what the problem with the church in America today is? We have fear of everything but God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? Watch this. Stay with me. Watch. Perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know what I fear this morning? I fear failing my Savior. I fear that. I fear disgracing the name of Jesus Christ. I fear messing up my marriage, messing up my children, messing up my church that God allows me to pastor. I fear that. I fear dying an old man without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, without the power of Jesus Christ on my life. I fear dying an old man without a Bible propped up on my chest and my hands folded on it. That's my wish. I want to die with a Bible right like that and my hands on top of that Bible. You can open it up. I'll give you a verse to open it up to. I'll make sure I tell the kids if I'm going to live that long. If I die earlier than that, I want that Bible right there. I want to be known for being a man of the book. That book sustained me. That book kept me safe. That book got me through. That book kept me sane in my mind. I gotta have that book. I fear dying. Like, yeah, he was a preacher and it went for a little while, but man, he wound up messing up when he got older. And I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid of God. One of the things I like about training jiu-jitsu is that it keeps me right with the Lord. You laugh all you want. It keeps me right with the Lord. Because I realize that God has a really easy way to judge me if he ever wants to mess, if I ever mess up. Real easy. Some young kid in there 20 years old will snap my neck. I go anyways. Just pray over it and try to stay right. Amen. I fear God. But I don't live in this state of stressful fear that the world puts you in. You see, the fear of the Lord is not that kind of fear. It's a fear that straightens you up, gets you to think and evaluate, gives you wisdom, and then draws you closer to him, and then you experience that love for the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for you, and then the rest of the fear is just kind of like cast out. And there's a great calm. While everybody else is freaking out, worrying, stressing, the Delta variant, to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, that is the question. You're like, you're not a flippant jerk. You just know who holds tomorrow, and you know who holds your hand. What are you afraid of, church? I hope you have fear of the Lord that leads you to a love for the Lord that gives you a great calm that only he can bring in a crazy time. Let's stand to our feet this morning as the pianist comes with the heads bowed and eyes closed.